This is Nighttime Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Bob Harris here along with Scott Sorum. And coming up tomorrow over at the Plains Art Museum, special guest will be Amy Thielen. She is with the Food Network and a Minnesota native, and she has a new book out that is called The New Midwestern Table. And she joins us right now to talk about her appearance and the Food Network and much, much more. And Amy, thank you for joining us here on KFGO.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be here, Bob.
Forgive me, this is going to be a real stupid question, but is there a difference between the Food Network and the Food Channel? Those are two different things, right?
Well, there's the Food Network, and then there's the Cooking Channel, it's called.
Okay.
And they're actually both owned by the Food Network, but I'm on the Food Network, which some people call the Food Channel, so that's where you get very confused, but it's the Food Network.
Well, I'm a man. I'm supposed to get confused, you know?
It's the Food Network. Yeah.
Let me ask you a little bit. Your roots are actually here in Minnesota, right?
That's right, yep. Park Rapids.
Park Rapids. What was cooking part of your early life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My mom was a really, really good cook. Food was just a really big part of our family.
Mm-hmm. Well, what brought you from the Midwest to New York? Because you spent some time out there doing some cooking at some very fine establishments, right?
Yeah, I spent about 7 years cooking on the line in fine dining restaurants, which is like, real contemporary food. I went down to college in St. Paul at McAllister, and then moved up to a cabin outside of Park Rapids with my then boyfriend, now husband. And we were kind of living like a rural life, simple life in the summer months when it was warm, just like a full gardening season. And then we'd move back to Minneapolis. But then one year, 1999, I think it was, we decided to move to New York City instead of Minneapolis for the winter, thinking, okay, maybe we'll move back to the cabin for the summer and grow our garden. But, it didn't happen. And we ended up staying out in New York for almost 10 years.
Was there a lot of difference? I mean, there's obviously a difference between our cooking, but is it that big a difference between Midwestern and Eastern cooking?
I know, not really. I mean, I think that the book that I've written now has definitely a lot of pockets of regionalism and things that are really just vernacular to the Midwest, but it also, basically, it's just American food, And on the East Coast, I think that most people in their homes cook regular food too. I mean, just stuff that I have in the book, basic bakes and casseroles, but I mean, I don't have a lot of that, but also just, roast beef and egg salad and things like that.
I mean, could you find a good tater tot hot dish in New York City?
No, you could not find that. No, they don't have that very much, no. It's amazing like how much regionalism there really still is in this country. And those are the things that I really wanted to find, like, the Runzas in Nebraska, the pasties from the UP. That's a really interesting, super Midwestern food that, the coast don't really know that much about.
Wow. Say, there was something in your book that was called synchronized cooking. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. It's kind of a term that I came up with to put a name to, how when you live, a little bit more connected to the seasons, as we do, especially people who have gardens and people who grow things in their yards. Things are ripe at the same time. Like now we're getting into venison, deer hunting, and everybody will be making venison chili. Or in the spring, rhubarb comes up, and you just kind of walk around town and you hear snippets of conversation, or you enter into conversations where people are saying, oh, I think I'm going to make a rhubarb crisp, or I'm going to try that rhubarb cobbler or something. You just get this sense that people are kind of all making the same thing. I just love that feeling that, everybody's cooking the squash or everybody's making this or that. It's kind of a cozy feeling.
How should I word this? Are you an experimental cooker? What I mean is you've got the main dish that you know you want, and then kind of add a little bit of that, a little bit of this, until you got just what you want.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I don't follow recipes unless they're mine and I'm testing them. Basically, sometimes I'll follow somebody else's to see what it's like. But I've cooked enough that I can kind of look at it and say, oh, I want to do this, but maybe I want to change this. So I kind of do that as I go. And when I'm in the kitchen, And I'm just kind of, you know, just free cooking. I'm trying to find new flavors, and I'm trying things out. You know, that's what I mostly do in the evenings for dinner for us.
You mentioned several meats and also vegetables and stuff. Are you an overall eater, or are you not a vegetarian, are you?
No, you couldn't tell that if you look at my book, you know I'm not a vegetarian.
Well, I know there's all kinds, but I mean, not just because... Yeah. That was a dumb question.
I have a lot of meat in the book.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. No, I'm not a vegetarian. I grew up in a family that has a meat market. So I grew up eating a high percentage of protein, shall we say. But I eat a lot of vegetables, and I cook a lot out of my garden. And I have a lot of vegetable sides in the book if you're looking for Thanksgiving ideas. I have a ton of them. And salads and stuff like that. I mean, I think my diet is pretty free-ranging and changes a lot. And I eat sweets, but not a ton of them, I guess. I love to develop sweet recipes, and then once they're perfect, I kind of put them aside and I don't make them again. Mm-hmm. Although my family cries out for them. My little guy, he's sick. He's like, where are those lemon bars that you made? So I have to kind of bring them back sometimes.
Your father took them.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess the reason I asked is when I looked at the sample of your book on the internet, it looked like a lot of gardening that you do up there in the Park Rapids area. And I guess that's why I asked that question. So
we garden. Oh, you're absolutely right. We do. We garden a lot, and we have like a kind of a baby orchard that's growing every year. We have grapes. We have, you know, we try to plant a little of everything. We've got a lot of things that I get from the garden and from our yard. Yeah.
Amy Thielen is our special guest here on KFGO. She will be here tomorrow over at the Plains Art Museum, 5:30 to 7, I believe the hours are. And she will be signing her new book, The New Midwestern Table. She's with the Food Network. And Amy, if I could take just a brief break, when we come back, I want to ask you about being on the old TV there cooking up for folks, okay?
For sure.
We'll be right back. Amy Thielen, our guest here on KFGO. We're back on the Mighty 790. Amy Thielen, our special guest from the Food Network, and she will be here tomorrow to sign her new book, The New Midwestern Table. That's going to be over at the Plains Art Museum in Fargo. And tell us a little bit about your show on the Food Network.
Yeah, so the book is about 3 years in the making, and the show about 9 months to a year. So, but they came out simultaneously, so it's kind of strange that, you know, it looks like the show came first. But in reality, it was the book. But the show is totally an unexpected, amazing thing to be able to do, and I'm super thrilled about it. Yeah, we had we did an initial first 6 episodes, and my producers are Random House TV and Lydia Bastianich. So I don't know if you know her from PBS. She has a cooking show, and she also has restaurants and cookbooks, and she's just kind of a legend in the cookbook world. And they came out, and there were about 25 people in the crew. And, for 13 days, we shot the 6 episodes. It was a super thrill.
Right there near Park Rapids, huh?
Yeah, we did some traveling. At first, we started in Madison and then drove all together in a big caravan all the way through Pierce, Minnesota, and then up to Fargo. And we did a show in Fargo, which I'm super happy to have done, and met up with my friend Andrea Baumgartner, who, you know, is like great chef, great local Fargo chef. And so then we came back to my house in the woods, and we shot the rest of the food stuff right in my kitchen.
Heartland Table, by the way, is the official name of the show, I believe, right?
Heartland Table.
Heartland
yep.
Table. I did see on your page as well. Did you have a little problem with the snow earlier this season? This like a month ago?
Yeah, we had on my blog. Yes, we have some. We had snow. It melted, you know. But it was a race for me to go grab everything out of the garden. That's for sure.
I was gonna say, did it wreck any of your crop or?
We've gotten most of it, but I've been kind of busy, so it's been hard to get all that done. My husband, we were both doing it that day.
In today's cooking at home, what would you say, and I know this is kind of a question on left field, what would you say is the most important utensil that's used in cooking right now, the one that no cook should be without?
Well, that's a hard question. I think you need a really... Can I just say, like, I think you need a really small setup, you know, but it has to be quality. And by that, I mean, you just need a decent knife, and it doesn't have to be perfect. You need a cutting board that's big enough. I go into people's houses, and I see that they're working on tiny little boards. It's just not that comfortable. And then I just think that the basic hand tools, you know, one thing that's really important is, like, a wooden spoon that you like that feels good to you. Just the basics. You know, I'm pretty old school. I don't go in for tons of equipment and things like that unless, oh, let's say that in a recipe I can throw everything into the food processor. Then it's worth pulling it out and making it dirty. But other than that, you know, I'm really all for really just quick kind of hand labor.
When you do the show, by the way, because of time constraints, obviously, do you have one prepared already and you shove one into the oven and then you got another one that's underneath your counter?
Sometimes, but you know, we didn't do a lot of that though, because I wanted to make it, you know, I wanted the food that that the camera was coming in on and zeroing in on. I wanted that to be hot and fresh and real. You know, I mean, there were no real tricks to it. I mean, we did a couple things twice, but mostly what we shot was what I made, I would say.
By the way, did it make you nervous, obviously, but I mean, that's got to be kind of strange to have a camera like above your head watching you dice something.
I know. Well, you know, what's stranger is having it pointed into your face and asking you to say something as you're cooking. I mean, I can shoot my hands dicing all day long, but I got used to the whole thing. At first, it was a little bit strange. And, you know, it's not like I've been training for this or that I even, you know, it's nothing I really expected. So, but I think that after the camera is in your face for 12 hours a day, you just kind of take it in stride and you just become used to it because you really have no choice.
Well, before I let you go, let's talk again a little bit about the format of the book here, shall we?
Sure, yeah.
Go ahead. What are we going to find in it?
Okay, so yes, you're going to find, I have, you know, just your basic kind of Betty Crocker chapters, although I have baking split into two. We have sweets, and then we have a section called early day baking, which is stuff, food that you might make for potlucks or takeaway or bake sale, that kind of thing, you know, just like during the day baking, your breads and bars and things like that. But I start out with a whole bunch of appetizers that are really good for the holiday season. I have things that I do for casual entertaining, just like my normal dinner parties, and soups, salads, lots of meat dishes. All the fish is freshwater fish, and I thought that was an important distinction for us here in the Midwest. Even though we can get, you know, we can get good sea fish, I just thought it was great. I just wanted to really do recipes that highlight the fish that come out of our own native waters.
Wow.
And so that was important to me. And then we have lots of vegetable sides, like I said, either from the garden or, you know, using vegetables that are kind of, you know, have seen their day, but they're in the grocery store and it's the end of February and what are you going to do, you know? So I have some of those too. And then a lot of sweets. My editor said, oh, there's way too many sweets. And I said, yeah, have you ever looked at like a Midwestern church community cookbook? There are lots of sweets. So we had to have a lot of sweets.
By the way, are you and your husband fishermen then, if you got a lot of some fish in there?
Yeah, my husband fishes, I don't fish. But I will clean them, so, you know, people sometimes bring them by.
Well, this is going to be an interesting afternoon and early evening tomorrow, 5:30 to 7 o'clock. And you'll be signing your books. They'll be for sale over there at the Plains Art Museum. Ever? Well, you know, you already said you've been in Fargo once. You were with
I am in Fargo all the time.
Really?
We come over there. Oh, yes. We drive over there for, oh, gosh, just all kinds of things, just to get stuff, you know. Park Rapids, you can find almost everything there, but, you know, not everything, so.
And who knows? Who knows? You may have made me a pizza years ago over at Rocky's, huh?
No, but, you know, I used to work at the Schwarzwald Inn, which is the diner on Main Street, after college. So I probably, if you ever went there, I made your hash browns and smoked pork chop breakfast. Or yeah. Oh, I wanted to say one more thing that,
sure,
you know, tomorrow at the Plains, I am going to be there with Amber Fletchock, who is the illustrator of the book.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, she's a local artist, and she lives in Hewitt, Minnesota, and she's a friend of mine, and has become a closer friend of mine over the course of making this book, which she did an amazing job of doing so. She has a lot of illustrations in the book, and thrilled to have her there too. So we'll be talking about that process as well.
Very good. So there'll be a little Q&A and then the signing.
Yep, definitely. And we're gonna have some snacks.
Of course. for more information, well, folks know where the Plains Art Museum is. It's downtown Fargo. But if they want more on Amy Thielen, what's the best website to check out?
Well, you can go on my Facebook page and like me on Facebook, or I have a website. It's just www.amythielen.com.
And by the way, that last name, Thielen.
And you can also, I'm sorry, I just want to say you can also find me on the Food Network page.
I'm just going to spell that last name, Thielen, in case anybody has any problems. That's T-H-I-E-L-E-N. AmyThielen.com. Thank you so much, Amy. I really appreciate you joining us here tonight on KFGO. You're a delight to chat with.
It was super fun talking to you. Thanks for calling.